ultimately, the strategy might include some of these other things. Oh, we need clinical service delivery. Oh, we need communications, health communications. Oh, we need coaching for our staff. And then you have a new opportunity there. So partnering is awesome. So I wanted us to be really creative about thinking about our healthcare vision.
Welcome to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast, the only podcast focused on helping visionary leaders of health centers and practices secure grants, contracts, and other funding to strengthen, scale, and sustain their vision of supporting under-resourced communities of color. I'm your host, Dr. Omolara, 20-year pediatrician, CEO of my own multi-practice health network, and fundraising expert, raising over $3 million to date and counting. I definitely know firsthand the challenges that come with financially sustaining quality healthcare for marginalized communities. Check out each episode where we'll bring you insights and advice from myself and other community health leaders who successfully secured funding for their organizations. From navigating grant applications, building relationships with funders, we'll help you elevate your funding strategy and bring more money to support your mission. So if you're ready to take your health organization to the next level, welcome to your funding secret weapon. Let's go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Funding Your Healthcare Vision podcast. And I am just wow. Yeah, that's the word. I'm just wow. Particularly because today is our final episode for the season. And I know you all might be like, wait, what? What happened? And I would say that one of the things that I'm learning is to make sure that I have embedded breaks. You guys remember my discussion about vacation and rest. And definitely, I think one of the things that makes podcasting so powerful is being able to say, this is what I want to say right now that will be helpful for educating and supporting those who I really want to help. And that when that time is done, I want to go back, help more people, help more clients, and then be able to think about what new things are really important. And I've realized that now at whatever episode I am of podcasting. And I want to thank you all for just, you know, riding with me. One of the things that we're going to be talking about today that I think is going to be really helpful is, you know, we've talked a lot about funding your healthcare vision, how to do it, how to get the funding, but I haven't talked about what should be funded, right? And what is it that we want to think about? And I think that what I would like to do is really expanding your vision for what your practice can do. One of the things that we have been, how can I say, indoctrinated to think about is that as people who own practices, the only thing that we can do is provide clinical services. And yeah, no, we're not going to sit there. We're going to do that. We're not going to be in a box and just say, this is all we can do. This is all we've been seasoned to do. This is all the expertise that we have, because it's not. And so I wanted to talk about the three other ways, the three ways that you can really expand the scope of your services and your funding opportunities, okay? Because when you have more things that you can do with your practice, there are more opportunities that might be different to get funding that different types of funders might be interested in supporting you with and partnering with you with. So let's talk about that. But before we do, I want to, of course, make sure that I am just giving love to all of you. I want to make sure that you all know kind of what to do, because now I'm going to move into kind of client heavy season. One thing for you all to know is that I'm bringing back one-to-one work, and there is an application for that. We are opening up spots only for a limited time period. So they will be short, really direct spots for one-to-one. And so if you're interested in that, apply. Okay, you can go to bit.ly/mmfundingintake. And when you go there, you'll have the chance to be able to just share a little bit about what your practice looks like right now, what you're doing. You'll see a little criteria of who are the type of practices. Since we don't really work with every practice, just because our models and our strategies aren't applicable to some practices. So read that blurb, okay, before you do this. But I did want to share that I am doing that. I will probably be closing it midsummer because, once again, your friend needs a vacation. I'm realizing how important that is. So I want to try to get in a few people. So the spots are limited. So make sure that you continue to put that in. This episode will be in the beginning of May and will probably shut down those spots by the end of May or sooner, depending on how quickly they get picked up. So I do encourage you to put that intake in because we'll just be going through it rolling on a rolling first come first serve and really giving you, if you're applicable, giving you the opportunity and to review the service. And let's work together and do this work. In other news, I love this, it sounds like a radio show, but in other news, I would like to say that in the meantime, I want you all to just really come over to LinkedIn. I am doing a lot more focus on LinkedIn, a lot more that may be more geared towards not just how to get funded or what we're getting funded, but why are we doing this work? And how can we make sure we do this work and make sure that the healer stays okay? So I'm going to be probably talking a bit more about that. I think it's so important because we're very ambitious. Those of you who are listening, I know that you're super ambitious. I know it. So I want to make sure that we are able to not let that ambition be stifled by being able to pour more back into ourselves and being able to figure out the spaces that we need and what we need to do to make sure that we're able to deliver on our vision. So come over to LinkedIn, follow me, and just, you know, I'll wax poetically. No, I'm just joking. I will share valuable things, I hope, that will be great for all of you who are listening. Okay, so you can follow me at, just look up my full name, Omolara Thomas Uwemedimo, and you'll find me there and just, you know, follow. Okay, follow. Don't have to, you can be a silent lurker. It's okay. You don't have to connect or anything. Just follow. And make sure to follow Melanin and Medicine too. Okay. All right. So let's get into these three different ways that you can, okay, that I hope that will be helpful for you to think about how you can expand your scope, the scope of your practice, and bring new funding opportunities in turn. All right. So first and foremost, let's talk about what you are probably doing right now. So first and foremost, you're probably doing clinical services, okay? And we do a lot of work with medical practices, a lot of primary care medical practices, of course, and then mental health practices. And most often what I see is that there really is this one revenue stream that is so highly dependent on taking care of people, right? What we call patient care. And it is either some people are doing cash pay, which we don't actually have a lot of clients who are doing cash pay. Most of our clients are taking insurance and even Medicaid to ensure that there's accessibility to the most lowest income, and really grants help to even broaden that accessibility by subsidizing some of the work that for people who might be uninsured as well. And so ultimately that clinical service work is primarily what, when we think about partners would be like, come, can you provide services for our clientele? And a lot of times it's direct services and you have to think about how much that will be to either outsource your providers, to actually be on site potentially to provide it, what equipment, those kind of things. And so we definitely do that in our funding proposals. But what I want to caution you about is the fact that many of us realize that it's not the clinical service oftentimes that causes the transformation. Oftentimes, it's the other ways that our organizations can be impacted that actually really cause transformation and equity and better education and empowerment for our patients. And so one of the things that I like to say to the clients that I work with is, think about the problem again and think about those who you've worked with who've had the problem and think about what was most transformative for them in order to solve that problem, okay? And so when I did that work and when they do that work, it usually falls into three buckets. And I hope that you're doing that right now and just trying to think about, was it clinical care that caused the most transformation, or was it other things that I did during an encounter or in the practice or in, you know, where I worked that really supported it? And so when I did this and when my clients did this kind of reflection work, it came into three different buckets that I want to talk about. So the first piece is actually around communication. The first one is directed communication. And I like to call it, you can put under that bundle, community health education, basically communication that is very geared towards support and geared towards ensuring that your clientele are informed and have the ability to ask questions and having that time. Now, that is something that a lot of times people put into clinical service. However, a lot of times that, given kind of what the structure of clinical care looks like, a lot of people don't get that. And they get that variably depending on how severe what they need to address in the clinical encounter is. So they might have 15 minutes or 20 minutes in a care visit. And because they have multiple problems, they might have 15 minutes that has to uncover kind of the clinical issues and maybe 5 minutes for actually doing some education. We know that ain't gonna do much, right? We know that that is not the way that we can really change lives. But we also know that in the interim, in between those visits, when we're educating our families, when we're talking to them, when we're calling them back, answering questions, those are the things that move the needle a lot of times. So I like this bucket that I want to share with you, which is communications, right? Health communications. And so for the C of communications, I'm trying to keep it all alliteration. You know, I love alliteration. So for C for communication means, are there ways that your practice can actually provide health education, communicate about specific topics that you know are really important, but only those who are clinicians in that field probably have the expertise to truly go in the weeds and educate. This is very different, okay, from providing medical advice. You've probably seen people, right, on the internet who are like, this is not medical advice. And I want to make that distinction that for this, what we're doing is we are providing education for people, but we're not addressing their specific issue. We're collecting all of the issues that we may see in clinical care and being like, okay, I feel like I'm repeating myself every visit. So that means that there is a education deficit in a specific area among the community that you work with. And how can I fill that gap? Okay. So what that could look like is partnering with an organization who has your target clientele that are in the community and being able to say, you know what, we'd be willing to be able to address, first of all, finding out, is that an issue for them? And then we'd be willing to address this, not by providing clinical services, but providing robust, ongoing education. And that gets funded, okay? That is something that you can get funded. So I wanted to bring up that bucket. We have two more that I wanted to bring up, and I will do that just in a minute, all right? This episode is sponsored by Melanin and Medicine and our signature program, Vision Builders, designed to help leaders of mission-driven health centers and practices caring for low-income populations. We help you access the tools, tips, and techniques to not only consistently secure six-figure grants to scale your organization, but also support the expansion of your revenue model to get recurring government and private contracts that don't keep you relying on fee-for-service Medicaid payments that barely cover your expenses. In Vision Builders, you get done-for-you services, including an updated personalized portfolio with recommended contract partners, grant funders, and available funding opportunities every quarter, creation of the assets needed to approach potential funders and contract partners with ease and efficiency, a robust curricula to help you assemble your requests, budget, and up-level your online presence to attract funders, and a one-of-a-kind peer community and high-touch weekly support from experts giving you the exact steps to connect with partner organizations and strategies to ensure that you're successful as you implement. So are you tired of having to balance your desire to take care of communities in need, having to run your practice sadly like a factory that's based on quantity and not quality, and struggling to not burn out your clinicians? You need more revenue, you need more cash flow, and we can help you get that. So if you're ready to make a change, start by completing our funding readiness intensive at bit.ly/mmfundingintake. That's bit.ly/mmfundingintake, and we can help. We're so excited to learn more about your practice and how we can move it from surviving to thriving. So go ahead and complete an intake at bit.ly/mmfundingintake. All right, so let's talk about number two. We talked about communication. The next one that I want to talk about is coaching, and not your typical coaching. So many of you are very familiar. We've seen a lot of physicians move into coaching, right? But I'm not talking about coaching patients. I'm talking about more so coaching staff of organizations. And what that means is basically, how could you employ a skills transfer? One of the things that I've noticed in organizations that we partner with, there is this unique opportunity where those organizations do encounter their patients from different angles, whether it be a social service or behavioral health organization, but in some way need to be equipped with how to navigate health issues, even at a superficial level, even if it means just education or navigation of a health issue that comes up during the encounters that they have, and having their staff be equipped for this. Okay. So for example, one of our clients, pediatric pulmonologist, we helped her to get funding to work with a nonprofit that was providing asthma care. But a lot of times they couldn't provide asthma care to the highest acuity patients, right? So meaning for those of you who might not be like steeped in clinical medicine, the most severe of the severe, like really severe asthmatics. Okay. And so ultimately their community health workers, which they had wanted to one, be able to, you know, allow for them to be able to take care of those kids. Now having her as a pediatric pulmonologist, that allowed for her to not only be able to provide consultations for them, which was one of the levers, but another lever was being able to support training of the community health workers in specific things that would be helpful for them to be able to identify kids who are severe and help those kids get to care faster, as well as alleviate some of the things, like being able to understand the medicines a bit more that they're using. This was not in replacement of the fact that they needed a pulmonologist, but this was to ensure that because of the intimacy of their interactions with the families, that they really could be an asset for kids who even were at the highest level of severity, right? And so that was a coaching model where she was coaching those staff to get new skills, to be able to have higher level of expertise that then would allow the organization to be able to cover a wider swath of their clientele. Sometimes it means getting the organization to be more adept at covering the current swath of comp clients that they have. So I want you to think about the fact that, is there some place, right, that you're noticing or the organization is noticing that there's an opportunity, but their staff aren't able to be trained in how to navigate that opportunity or that gap that keeps coming up for their clientele. So that's the coaching one. So we have communication, which is directly to clients of your partner organization, coaching, which is to the staff of the organization. And then the last way that you can partner with organizations and get funding, I'd want to just make sure that one of the things that you think about is the fact that organizations have clients, they have staff, and then they have the leadership who direct everything. So this last one that I'm going to talk about is going to be about the leaders, okay, and what we can do to support them. So I'll be back in 1 second and after the break to talk about that. Wouldn't it be nice to get new six-figure grant opportunities straight to your inbox every month? Well, subscribe to Build, Fund, Grow, our monthly newsletter, and get a list of new funding opportunities and growth tips curated by our melanin and medicine research team, specifically for healthcare organizations serving low-income communities. It is literally the easiest thing you can do to get the capital to grow the revenue and the impact of your mission-driven healthcare organization. Just go to bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. Trust us, your team will thank you for making this so easy. Get on the list at bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. And get the money you deserve ASAP. That's bit.ly/buildfundgrownewsletter. See you on the list. All right. So what can we do? So we talked about the fact that our practices not only can provide clinical services, but we can provide communication and health communication and education for the clientele of partner organizations that we work with and get that funded. We can provide coaching for the staff at organizations and get that funded. And we can provide consulting for the leadership. Now, what does consulting look like? Because consulting looks different ways, right? Any of these you might think about as a consulting kind of entity. What I want to kind of distinguish for this is that those, what I've mentioned before, are done for you services. So what does that mean? That means that whether it be community health education or coaching, those are vendor services, okay? Meaning that you come in and they already have a strategy. They already know what the problem is. They just need for you to deliver an antidote to that problem, right? For the consulting that I'm referring to for this conversation, it refers to those that see the problem, but need help thinking about a strategy. So for example, some of the consulting that I've done for, whether it be health centers, has really been around kind of funding strategy, okay? So they know what they need. They need this amount of money, and they've been trying to get that amount of money and having problems, right? It's different from, like, this is the strategy. We know these are the people, the grants that we want or the things that we want. And can you teach our people how to do that? Instead, we're trying to think about what, going back up a stream and trying to think about, okay, what's the best way to solve this problem for your organization? So it might be actually helping them to think about, oh, maybe we should bring a community health education component. Maybe we should do that. So that really is, rather than tactical, right? This is strategy. And so this has a higher price point, actually, a lot of times than the other services, because of the fact that you are literally helping the organization build its capacity. You are doing things where, you know, hopefully if you do it right, you actually might push yourself either into a job or you might push yourself out of a job, right? Because the goal is to build that organization to now know what direction they want to go in and to give them insight on how to do that and what is it that needs to take place. A lot of times that can look like doing an assessment. It can look like them being able to give recommendations or being able to have ongoing talks with the leadership for a specific amount of time. So any of those can be really helpful for thinking about this consulting piece. And this consulting piece, a lot of times, is not the most amenable to grant funding, even though it should be, right? Because I think a lot of grants really miss kind of funding planning and doing this work, and they really just go straight to implementation. But it may actually be a better source of funding for this will be a contract from the organization to say, hey, we want to get your brain to help us think through a strategy and help us like be able to put down the infrastructure to do that. And then ultimately, the strategy might include some of these other things. Oh, we need clinical service delivery. Oh, we need communication, health communications. Oh, we need coaching for our staff. And then you have a new opportunity there. So partnering is awesome. And you guys can partner to get a grant to actually do that work, or they might say, look, we just want to contract you. So I want us to be really creative about thinking about our healthcare vision, the goals that we have, what is it that we want to achieve? But specifically, as I started in the beginning, what is the best way to solve this problem that I am committed to resolving? What is that best way? And not to be scared of it, okay? What I'm finding a lot of times right now is the best way to solve a problem might not even be directly with organizations, but it might be with policymakers. It can get that crazy when you do the work and when you really do root cause analysis to figure out why is this problem happening, and you figure out who is your target. And so I just want you all to really think strategically about your healthcare vision. Where do you need to be, right? And think broadly about where you need to be. It doesn't have to just be in clinical services. And don't be scared of what you find out and what you uncover. And I hope that you all will reach out to us as you're doing this. So you listen to this, if you are finding, and definitely this is always helpful for expanding your revenue streams. And as for those of you who, for those of you who are having difficulty a lot of times with, you know, how do we really broaden this? Like the margins aren't that great. These are the different unique ways that you can bring different types of funding in by expanding what you think and what you equate a practice traditionally to do. So I hope that this was helpful for you. Hopefully one of you got aha bug. And I hope that more of you over this time will engage with us to complete an intake so that we can talk and see whether or not it makes sense for us to help you. What I will say for those of you who are interested in that, we work primarily with practices that already are established. We don't worry, we're considering something to think about how we can help more of you who need startup support. But regardless, we provide resources for everyone who submits an intake. So it's a good, good thing. I'm going to miss you guys, and I will see you soon for Funding Your Healthcare Vision. I will see you for season 4, and that'll be, you know, in a minute. Don't worry, we'll let you know, but I am so elated. And make sure you go through these episodes again. I think there were like 13 or 14 episodes. So make sure you go through them. Make sure you share as you're navigating people who might be like, oh, this is a struggle. I'm dealing with cash flow issues with my practice. This is a helpful tool. At least that's what I've heard. Okay. But other than that, I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I will see you next season. Don't forget to be fearless and get funded. Bye, everyone. Hey, visionaries. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, can you do me a favor, or maybe two? Can you subscribe, and then can you share it with a friend? And if you really liked it, can you review and rate it on Apple Podcasts? So as you know, it helps our podcast to be seen by more and more Black and Brown women in healthcare across the globe. I also want to make sure that we don't leave you hanging if you're trying to get funding for your practice or if you're just stuck. Head to our resources page at bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. That's bit.ly/melaninandmedicine. And there we have masterclasses, learning series, as well as the ability to just cut to the chase and submit an intake and get the personalized feedback on your practice that you want. This podcast is a sisterhood, so don't forget to join the party and the conversation on Instagram. DM us, tell us what you want to hear, comments about the episode, or what we didn't talk about. We love answering questions, and maybe your question might get featured on the podcast. So please don't be shy. You can follow us at Melanin Medicine Co. Your vision is big, and we're here to let you know it's possible. Keep going, and definitely keep listening. See you next week.